You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is hour number two of the Sports Hangover. The Saints have reported for training camp. You know what they're doing up there right now? Conditioning tests. That's right. Got to pass those tests if you want to practice tomorrow. Practice number one. This hour we'll focus on the black and gold. And hour number one, thanks to Tim Rebo, head coach of the Colonels. Of course, where you're home for Nichols football. Right around the corner, starting in September. And in practice, as he said, August 3rd. And we also spoke to Ja'Kai Douglas of Terrebonne High School. If you missed any of that, join the intern working, folks. Go!
You can go to the podcast app already installed on your iPhone. If you have an iPhone, you can go to SoundCloud. Later today, it will be posted on SoundCloud, and we'll have links on Facebook and Twitter. And that's it.
There you go. Also, welcome to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Today's more about what that Camel Wednesday hump day is. What it is.
There is Shaq Gina Digital Underground head coach Sean Payton and the Camel, letting you know you made it a little bit closer to the weekend on Saturday. We're live at Barker Mitsubishi and Kia, 1190 West Tunnel Boulevard, over in Houma. Free jambalaya from the Jambalaya Shop. Words of wisdom.
Peace and humpiness forever.
Feel free to stop on in and get yourself some free jambalaya. Jordan the intern had his own bowl and it's gone. I think you did that in about maybe 7 seconds.
Yeah, I was scarfing it down.
I mean, you did.
I don't even think I chewed.
I mean, the break's what, three and a half minutes? And we had at least 2.5 minutes left. Still a little bit of rice. There are some kernels of rice, still some remnants of the jambalaya. But there is a bucket of jambalaya here on the table. Right when you walk in the showroom, you can't miss the beautiful red Kia Stinger GT, 365 horsepower. You got the Eclipse Cross over to my left, a really, really technologically advanced vehicle, to say the least, we'll get into. And then, of course, the Kia Optima. Everyone almost seems to have one on the road today when you look at it. James from Barker Mitsubishi and Kia joins us to talk a little bit about the vehicles in front of us. And you probably might recognize the voice. You're the voice of the business, as the folks over here like to call you.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing these radio commercials for a long time since I've been here. And we used to do TV commercials, and that kind of went away, so now we're on the radio.
Okay, totally. Just now when you went, oh, yeah, I mean, that's how you start the commercial,
that's
right?
It.
You go, oh, yeah. I mean, I know it's the Barker Mitsubishi Kia commercial. You did that. That was really cool. No, seriously, though, we'll start with the Cross because it's right to your left. When do we even go anywhere without the phone? Honestly, right?
That's
when you have your phone on you, with me, my iPhone, whether – I take it when I go shower, even though I just leave it on the on the countertop. I don't know why, but it's with me everywhere. So what better than to be able to use your phone to be able to do a handful of things with the vehicle?
Right on the vehicle. It's the most technology vehicle. It's the Mitsi's newest vehicle they're trying. It's been real successful. We've been having people just want to come in and look at the Cross with all this new technology, like you say, especially this young generation.
Yeah.
Nobody goes nowhere without their iPhones.
Well, Jordan the intern's lazy, so he wants to be able to set the temperature on it. You can unlock and lock the car doors. Yeah, you can do all kinds of different things from your phone before you even walk to the vehicle.
Yep. We're excited about it.
It's cool, man. You do all kinds of different things on that
car. It's a cool vehicle. It actually, you know, when you look at it, you know, you actually got to get in it. Then when you start getting in it, you say, man, it's actually big. What it looks like.
Right.
Then you go drive. It's got an excellent drive. I'm actually driving one for a demo, and
see,
it's a cool drive.
Here's the thing. Well, if you ever want to, you know, I loved growing up. I'm 42. Mm-hmm. So high school to early college, the Eclipse was my car. I mean, I loved that Eclipse.
Fast and Furious.
I wanted to grow up and be able to afford the 3000 GT, which was the sports cars, right?
Yep.
But the Eclipse, man. I love that Eclipse growing up. So a couple months ago when you start hearing the Eclipse crossover, I'm like, well, what? It's an SUV.
Yep.
And I guess if I close my eyes and kind of look at it and I kind of, you know, maybe from a 45-degree, it has the framing order, the DNA of the Eclipse, right? Mm-hmm. That sort of smushed in the back, kind of look in the front. But it is an SUV size. So I get the name now, Eclipse Cross. It's a crossover vehicle.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it still kind of remember and reminds you, no longer you have the Eclipse or the Galants anymore. But, you know, it does kind of hint to the Eclipse of yesterday.
Absolutely. And then when you get behind the wheel to drive, if it's a tighter vehicle, it doesn't drive like the SUV. So it's a fun car to drive. You know, I live in Dibble, like I'm saying, I'm driving one for a demo, and it's the coolest car to drive.
Yeah.
Because it's tight. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, no doubt. And then, of course, Kia seems to really be one of the car makers that's growing left and right, you know, everywhere. Optimas are really popular.
Hot
Lots
car.
Of people have those. But the Stinger, that's just recent, right? Came out a little bit ago,
that's
6 months ago.
Newest car.
Wow. This GT, 365. I had a Mustang. For a few years before I got married and, you know, the kid and you know how that is.
That's how it works.
Honey, where's the car seat going to go in the two-door car? You need a four-door car. So, but there's very few manufacturers that have a four-door sports car vehicle. Mm-hmm. I would be the Optima and I get the sunroof and I'm just a sports car. You get what I'm getting at?
Yep.
This is a true sports car.
True sports car, four-door. I mean, it's the fight, the BMWs and all that, and Kia really went for it. And we're excited about it. We think, you know, we're getting a new clientele into the dealership that wasn't coming before.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that get behind the wheel, look at it, they're really excited about it. We like the idea we get new people in. If they don't buy this, hey, we'll show them the Optima, you know.
The AC vents and the display tablet kind of screen, very European.
Exactly.
I mean, you walk in there right now, that's exactly what you see from BMW to Mercedes. You can't find a Mercedes now that have that screen. I'm still trying to get used to that. I kind of rather it blended into a dash.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, to your point, that's what you see if you go see a German car.
Yep, absolutely. So we're excited about it. You know, Barker Mitsubishi, Kia's, you know, we keep growing. We've been here. I've been here 23 years. I mean, I think the dealership's been here 28. We got a lot of employees that's been here over 20 years. So they bringing these new products, so we got to learn them, you know. I'm old school, so we got to learn them, but we're learning them. We got a good, great, you know, a great sales force, a lot of younger guys that's like you into this technology stuff, so that's helping us a lot. But, I mean, just about anything that you want to look for, if you want to look for an SUV, we can show you one. You want to look for a sports car, we can show you one. You want a four-door car, we can show you one, you know. You want economics, we got the Mitsubishi Mirage, gets almost 50 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
You know, so we're lucky in that aspect. Great, you know, great financing. You hear the 0%. We got big rebates. So just about anything that you're looking for in an automobile, we can help you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And obviously, with the advent of technology the last couple of years, you go to the website, so you can see it. It's pretty much all there for you. So when you walk in here, you kind of have an idea where they're going. It helps you guys out, too. You know, what is it that you want? You have different trims, different levels for that reason, because of that. You know, what's a little bit more important. And look, we all know the pocketbook.
Oh, yeah.
You want to get the most bang for your buck.
For your buck.
That
That's
is for
it.
Sure. You also apparently know some sports. We're going to get to John Forcade next segment. We're going to start talking this hour specifically about the black and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that Jordan the intern is throwing out there at ESPN Radio NOLA and our Facebook page is a simple one. What concerns do you have heading into the start of training camp? I've had trouble the last several weeks, James, because unlike seasons past, who's going to run the football? Who's the tight end? Who's going to be the line? You know, where is the pressure on the quarterback coming from? Who's the starting corner? Who's the shutdown? I'm starting at backup quarterback. I mean, that's kind of where I'm going. My three are backup quarterback. Who are the guys behind Patrick Robinson, Crowley, and Lattimore? And really, if I have to, I guess find something else too, as well as what are the linebackers? Even though I think all the linebackers are going to kind of switch, you know? I mean, Dennis Allen said there's five
or
six. So I'm having trouble finding what are the question marks, per se, where I'm concerned.
Absolutely.
Do you have any for the Saints this year?
I tell you what, it's hard to find a weakness, and you get back to the linebackers. The Saints are going to probably cut linebackers. That's going to get on somebody else's team.
I think receivers,
you
too.
Know? And when's the last time you could say that?
Not at that position
for a long
time.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, injuries come into play. You know, I mean, you can't sit in and predict that. But if the Saints stay pretty healthy, I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be exciting. And you got to admit, when the Saints are good and LSU's good, it's so easy to come to work. The work week goes fast because you can't wait for the weekend.
Right.
The customers are excited. You know, all the employees are excited.
People
you know,
are asking you for special black and gold.
That's it. Man, y'all got tickets. You know, everybody wants tickets. Everybody thinks everybody's got a ticket.
Right, just giving you a little marketing idea. If they do really well, maybe you get a stinger in black and you throw some gold racing stripes over the hood, and all of a sudden it's a special edition.
Yeah, we put the red one because you had Coach Rebo in there.
Yeah, exactly right.
What an awesome coach and an awesome guy. I remember Coach when because I'm a big high school like you, you know, and when he was at Destrehan, he was, you know, you could see that the way he did things that he was going to be successful.
Okay, well, let me touch on that, James, not to interrupt you, but how much excitement is the area here from Ja'Kai Douglas with the Terrebonne?
Yep,
and I mean, just that district itself is ridiculous.
It's going to be strong.
But, I mean, look, the Colonels made some noise last year, and Chase Forkade's like, let's go for the championship this year in Southland. So, or just in that, you know, in the FBS, so I'm in.
I can't wait, man. You know, you're looking around for something to watch on TV. There's no football, so you know it's killing everybody. So it's right there; we can see it, and the excitement is. We know Nichols is going to be good. I mean, it's you know these guys that he's had started as freshmen, not in their juniors, you know, senior year.
Right.
So you know the talent's there. Again, you stay injury free. It's going to be exciting. We can't wait.
I know the website, BarkerMitsubishi.com, as well. And, look, 1190 West Tunnel Boulevard in Homer. Everyone knows where this is at. You guys have been here for a long, long time.
Yep.
You want to come out and check out some of the deals and rebates and vehicles as well, from the spanking new to the most technologically advanced to the most economy here as well. So, truly, James, a vehicle for anybody.
Anybody, come on in here, and if we don't have it, we'll find it for you. I can promise you that. If you want a certain color, certain specifications or anything, we'll go out there and find it for you and take care of you.
Give me an oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
See, there it is. Oh,
ooh.
Yeah. I'm telling you. See, now when you hear the spot, now you know what. That's him. It's James.
That's it.
I've seen the commercial.
You seen it and heard it? Yeah.
Many times.
There he is. He's the legend.
Well, yeah, but we're going to have we can't wait. This football season is going to be exciting. You know, now look, we need you to even touch base on LSU yet.
I haven't.
You know, because you know.
I haven't. Well,
he doesn't like LSU.
That's not the, no. Part of the reason he goes there, he's a sophomore and he leaves at halftime.
No, I do not.
I told him when he stays a full game and he takes a selfie with the scoreboard.
I did take a selfie.
Him, and it says 00 with the 4 on it, which means he stayed the game. Then I'll talk LSU. No, it's not true. I do talk a lot of LSU football, but
big season, Coach O. You know,
you think it's that big?
Well, I think it's a big season.
Let me ask you this: as we head out to the break, ready?
Mm-hmm.
What is a successful season for LSU this year?
You know, everybody wants them to go 11-12. I'm thinking if we can get at least 9-10 wins this year.
So 9-10, you'd be
with
happy.
His recruiting season that next, he's got coming in. If these guys sign, it's going to be unbelievable.
Okay, so 9 or 10 wins,
I'd be happy.
What about for Colonels?
I mean, I think we need 9 or 10, you know, at least make the playoffs again.
Okay.
I mean,
because
it was
Saints.
Was that exciting? Did you
no,
get
it
the,
was.
Oh,
it
that
was
awesome. Saints, we got 11-12. Cause I think it's going to take that.
Okay.
In that division.
Yeah. Tough schedule.
If,
it's
going to
be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
If you don't have 11-12, you might not make it.
All right. Easy enough. James, thanks for your time.
It was a pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Thank
1190 West Tunnel Boulevard. It's Parker Mitsubishi and Kia. And when we come back, another member of the New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame going in on August 4th, Tim Rebo. Tom Benson, John Forkade. How did he sneak in there? We'll talk to him. We got him again this fall. I'll ask him. I asked him to do some homework, Jordan. I want to know the top storylines for him. Give me 3 to 5 storylines that he'll be focusing on as the Saints start training camp. Folks, the black and gold, they're in the building. They're doing conditioning tests right now. They had a report this morning. Training camp is here. Tomorrow's the first practice. The first practice that you can go see as a fan is Saturday. And Sunday they're open. If you got the tickets, you're in. They're sold out. And if you're going, or even if you're not going, I'm going to be in New Orleans, Harley-Davidson on Airline Drive, 12 to 2, free burgers, hot dogs, chicken, beer, water. It's all free. Come on in. It's inside in the cold. So, you know, come hang out. We can talk some sports and talk a little.
I like that word, free.
You like free. I know you do.
Yeah.
Sport Takeover continues next, live from Homa on ESPN New Orleans. Be sure to follow us on social media at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to follow over on Twitter. We put a lot of, whether it's interviews or places that we're at, like today at Barker Mitsubishi and Kia. Obviously Saturday, we're at New Orleans Harley Dave. I still can't believe the food, and there's free adult beverages with water and snowballs from Kona. You got.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Might be able to make an appearance on our Instagram page.
I don't know how we swung that, by the way, to make it free.
I don't know.
Because I'm just going there to play with the motorcycles, to be honest with you. Also, number of different ways that you can follow us on social media, Jordan.
You could follow us on YouTube, The Sports Hangover 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow us on Instagram, ESPN Radio New Orleans, NOLA, Twitter, ESPN Radio NOLA.
There you go.
It's the same Instagram and Twitter are the same exact handle, but.
Yeah. But they're two different things.
Yeah.
Right. You just confused half the listeners.
No, I didn't.
You did. You did.
I said they're both the same.
No,
the same name.
No.
ESPN See, Radio
no.
NOLA.
You know, never mind. We'll try again after John 4K. John, thanks. You could have just said, follow us on social media, ESPN Radio NOLA on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Boom. There you go. No one would have been confused.
Hey, but I'm getting.
Let's bring in a Sports Hall of Famer. I have no idea how this happened. But John 4K, August 4th, is going into the New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame. John 4K, how are you, my friend?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. You know what you two guys sound like? Sound like me and my young brother growing up. You guys are the guy that picks on the youngest one. That was me and my youngest brother. Always picked on him, but I remember something back then. You're going to remember this. My young brother got tired of me picking on him. He picked up a doggone golf club and slammed it against my leg. I stopped picking on him. So be prepared, Jordan. Pick up a golf club.
Yeah.
You know what to do it.
Of course, he uses a golf club because I'm convinced if John would have focused on golf and maybe not football, I think you might have gotten the tour card, man, because you turned out to be a pretty good golfer. When did you start playing golf? Was it at the beginning of your career or really towards the end? Because the times I've gone with you, like, you legitimately can play some really good golf.
You know, Gus, actually, it's funny you say this because growing up, you know, you're 11, 12, 13 years old, you really kind of went on my own and nobody taught me a thing. I didn't realize we even had a golf team at Shaw High School. I didn't have time to play golf at Shaw. So I basically went to Brechtel on the West Bank or Plantation in the West Bank and just learned myself how to play. Never had a lesson in my life. Maybe if I would have, I should have probably got lessons. And maybe as time going on, I could have switched from that football to that golfing on a regular basis. Because, look, I played a lot of golf in my times, and what's so funny is I haven't touched a golf club in almost 3 years because of all the injuries that I've sustained and all the operations that I've already had, and I'm getting ready to have more. So it tapped into my golf game, and it's pretty much done.
Yeah, exactly. You could be jet-setting, John, instead of spending time under the knife. How are you doing? I know you had some back surgery on top of what, knee from last season during the show that we were doing as well. I mean, how are you right now? Seriously.
Actually, I'm sitting right now as we're talking in front of South Shores Rehabilitation, my physical therapy place here in Metairie. So I'm getting ready to do my rehab when I get off the air with you guys. Slowly but surely, I'm getting there. I'm still having a little bit of soreness in my knee, but that's going to come in time. They told me that the back, it's going to be a year process with the back before it's totally finished. I wear a back brace. I can't do a lot of things. But look, I'm not going to have the other two operations I'm supposed to have here in the next 3 to 4 months. I was going to do my right knee and then finish it up with my neck. I decided that, and the doctor said, let's hold off on that. Four operations, that type of operation in 1 year is brutal on the recovery time. So I'm not going to have many more surgeries this year. Cross my fingers, you know, and hope for the best. But I'm going to rehab as much as I can and get ready for the spring of next year and start my right knee and my neck.
Well, are you day-to-day questionable or probable for the event on Saturday, August 4th? You better show up. You're going into the New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame.
I will be there. I'm just going to be there. But the good thing about it is I'm going to wear a suit. My back brace will be underneath the suit, so I won't have the people out there that all whoever shows up at the event looking at me like, look at this crippled old guy walking up on the stage. So I will have my suit on the whole time to cover my back brace. So I will be there. Look, if they had to push me in the wheelchair, I waited so long for this opportunity. I remember, you know, Gus, I got a phone call from Renee Nando about 14 years ago mentioning this event. that they have, and he's put me on the list, and he's been trying. He called every year, would tell me the results and what happened. And, you know, he's like, John, the last 8 years, you've been missing it by a vote. I'm like, hey, you know, if it happens, it happens. And I got a phone call months ago. I knew about this when someone called me and told me, hey, you finally made it. You got over that missing it by one. And I totally forgot all about it. And, you know, even all the operations I was dealing with, I kept thinking about that more than I was thinking about the going into the Greater New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame. And, you know, I got that phone call. I was, like, numb because I never really even thought about it after talking to Renee after all those years. I figured, you know, I'm one of the ones that once you've been for a while, your name gets thrown out the window.
There you go. Well, congratulations on that, John. And obviously we'll be together again this fall talking a little football weekly. And one of the things, John, that we'll be doing, obviously, is following the black and gold as well with the college game and high school football as well. We talked with Tim Rebo in hour number one. Obviously, you followed Chase's career being a family member and his uncle, but man, a lot of expectation levels here. Do you like the fact that the Manning Passing Academy said, hey, let's go for the national championship?
I'll tell you this. I was there this past weekend at the Nicholls State football camp. And God almighty, they had over 300-something kids, and I was there 2 years ago. They might have had 100 and a half, 150 or so. Just talking and looking at Chase, getting an opportunity to look at my nephew. God almighty, he's gotten bigger, and he looks stronger. And why not? Look, they've got, if I'm not mistaken, eight to ten guys picked on, you know, first and second team all conference. That's pretty impressive for coming off of last season's team. Now, granted, they got a tough schedule. Look, they go to Kansas, and I'm telling you right now, upset a year. Nicholls State beats Kansas. I will be there. Then they come back and play Tulane. Tulane better watch out, and you know what I'm talking about. Tulane can overlook a team like Nicholls, and then they got McNeese State, then they open up at home against Sam Houston. It's going to be tough for Nicholls State now. National championship, is that in their picture? I think what Tim Rebo has done up there and with those guys that they brought on board and junior, that Chase will be a junior now. I like what I'm seeing. They're adding some players to this roster. They can stay healthy. That's the big key. Stay healthy week to week. Why not them? You know, why not
Nicholls? No, I hear you. Look, there's a lot of excitement for sure, and I think Coach Rebo's toughest task is just to get out of the gate there, John. I don't want to say, you know, 500 ball, but, I mean, just, you know, that's a tough stretch, man, when you're not really playing at home until the fourth game of the season, and that game is against a pretty good team. The black and gold, a lot of expectations and excitement there, but, again, tough schedule, lots of competition in the NFC. To me, it's like the NBA Western Conference 4K. I mean, it's just, I mean, pick a team. We're doing it during the break just now, right? I mean, if you look at the NFC North, it's probably two teams you can consider playoff teams, right? And just the Vikings and the Packers. In the West, somebody's got to win it. So let's just say the Rams there. If it's the East, let's say they send two teams, Eagles and somebody else. The South, two teams. I mean, it's just when you're looking everywhere, I almost feel you just got to get into the six. If you can host any of those rounds, that's even great. But, John, I think get in, and out of the six that get in, I honestly think any of those six can win it.
I totally agree with that. That's, you hit the nail on the head. You look at each conference or each division, you break it down. The hardest division is going to be the South. I would have said Tampa Bay, but they got their issues right now with Winston as their quarterback, and, you know, they might start off pretty rough there without having him. But the three other teams, they're very compatible compared to some of the other clubs. But like you said, I've always said this about playoffs. I don't care if you're 13-0 and you're back in. Here's a prime example, and I hate bringing this up because I think it's stupid. The way the Arena Football League played this past season, they had a team with a 2-11 record make the playoffs. They had a back-to-back series with the number. They were the fourth seed playing the number one seed. They got in the playoffs, right, at 2-11. They lost by one point the first game. Well, they had to go play them again the week later. They beat them by 7 points. And guess who's playing for the championship team? A team now that's 3-12 playing for the Arena League Championship. So I'm like, hey, once you get in the playoffs, there's no record. So when the Saints get that opportunity to get in the playoffs, and that's the must word is make it to the playoffs. And if you get an opportunity, you know how the Saints are at home. I'd rather see them at home than going on the road. But, you know, last year we sat there and we went bazonkers when we saw that last play in the Minnesota game. They were that close to being on the road at Philadelphia with a chance of probably having a shot at a Super Bowl with a team that we didn't expect to get there. Now, people right now, you know this as well as I do, they're expecting New Orleans Saints to make the playoffs. And with the team they have and what happened last season, the Saints better show up, and they do have a tough schedule. But you play week in and week out. This is the NFL. I think everybody's going to be tough in the NFL.
John Forcade, final question for you. When you look at these storylines, and you can look at it as question marks, you can just look at it as storylines. I'll leave that up to you. Going into training camp, first practice tomorrow, what are they for the Saints?
Well, first and foremost, you know, how much they're going to use Kamara at running back. They better find another running back because I know what's his name, Ingram, will not be there for a while. And it's just training camp. But you can't wear this young man down in his second season because Ingram's not there and you think you'll use him. He's not an Ingram-style guy. Let's see the running back rotation, how that comes around. I'm curious to see who's going to catch the football. Some other guys must step up. There's some guys who are on the brink of possibly getting cut from this football club in the receiving department. Let's see that. Which tight end steps up? Okay, you got to find out who's the tight end that's going to step up. But Watson's up at age. We got to find these young guys to step in there. In the O-line, I think they're going to be fine in the offensive line. You know, Zach Street retired. We'll see what happens with some of these other guys. They got to stay healthy. Now you flip it to the defensive side of football. Are the linebackers going to be healthy? You know as well as I do, we have a good core of linebackers. A bunch of them got hurt last year. They've got to find linebackers to stay healthy. And in the pass rushing, will Davenport, the rookie, play as what they expected him to be as when they drafted him? That's the question mark. Jordan on one side, him on the other, bringing that pressure. I think the secondary is going to be fine. I don't have any problems with the secondary. I think they got the players back there. This is going to be a good group of guys. Now, you got different selections. You know, the linebacking core is going to be an issue. The front rush guy is going to be an issue. I like the secondary. Flip it to the offense. You know, what do they do with the running game to save some of these guys until Ingram gets back? And who's going to catch the football? And in the tight end situation, maybe I said a lot there, but we know number nine is going to show up week in and week out.
There he is, John Forcade, newest member of the New Orleans Sports Hall of Fame, August 4th. He, Coach Rebo, Tom Benson, part of the class that are going in as well. Congrats. Get healthy so we can do some shows, man, and some segments and talk some football as it's right around the corner. I'm not even going to ask you about Ole Miss Rebels, but, I mean, you know, we'll talk about everything else.
Yeah, I'm getting there. But look, I'm getting better. I'm looking forward to it. Basically, I took the spring off so I get healthy. We're going to get rolling in September like we did last year. We'll do that Sunday show, the Thanksgiving, and we'll do the Thursday night show. We're going to kick it with a lot of sports, and I will be able to be there in studio or on the set or wherever we go. So I'm going to get off the injured reserve list in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Sounds good. Thank you, John. Go to rehab.
All right.
Yeah. It's not
hey,
funny.
It's physical fitness rehab. Not alcohol we have now. Physical fitness.
What are you doing, Gus?
Yeah, no. John's actually the cleanest person I know. It's crazy. But every time we go have dinner after the show, I'm like, dude, something, huh? Get something that's fried. He's actually really healthy when it comes to that. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. We're live at Barker Mitsubishi and Kia, 1190 West Tunnel Boulevard in home. All right, it's time for you, Saints fans, to be a part of the show. Next guest is until 2:15 for Touch the Ball, Timmy Grubbs, our weekly baseball segment on the Cakes and top storylines of Major League Baseball. But I want to know from y'all, what are the storylines or even, I guess, concerns or question marks that you have? I've been kind of going the last couple of days, if I have any or not. John Forcade went through a handful there. What is your top concern or question mark as the Saints begin training camp tomorrow? They've reported first practice tomorrow. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. some, come on, how pumped are you at the season? It's really now underway, at least camp-wise. Quarterback Drew Brees, if you remember, back at the end of minicamp.
You must continue to keep your foot on the gas and create a sense of urgency. You know that each and every day is the opportunity to get it a little bit better. And if you don't have that mindset, then other people are going to pass you up, you know. And
I kind of get the sense and feeling that as opposed to seasons past where it was a lot of what are the question marks on a team and in position battles, like who's the starter here, who's the starter there. I would say, Jordan, am I wrong that the number one thing the team needs to deal with going into training camp is expectations? Would you say that expectations would trump either a position battle or a team need?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, I would say that. I would say when I look, okay, Saints practice tomorrow. They reported today. You know you have the team meeting, right? You know Sean's going to set the tone sort of, all right, now we're in it. It's not mini camps, not OTAs. We're in it, right? Before you go do the conditioning test, here it is. And I have to imagine the first meeting of really honest to goodness the season. Not that he hadn't already kind of, you know, done this, and he said he has and talked about the team and all that, but I think he reiterated today, and I don't know, we'll find out tomorrow, you know, when Sean Payton speaks after practice. I'm sure he'll be asked what was the message, but what did he say to the team today? But something tells me it's a reiteration or doubling down on there's a lot of people tomorrow when Jordan the intern and all the other media members, they're going to be absolutely blowing your head up, right? Telling you how good you are. Expectations from the national perspective. That's a playoff team. Super Bowl contenders. I think for them, the biggest, again, not question mark, it's the biggest thing that they have to deal with, I think, this year. Above a position battle and above a need, I think it's handling the expectation levels. And I don't mean that they can't handle it. It's they're going to be bombarded with it. They're going to be told this. They're going to, you know, other people are going to be comparing it to it, right? Like, how does that expectation level sort of go when, again, Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, said the first game of the season, Saints-Bucks 21-20. You understand what I'm getting at? Like, instead of, hey, that's a win, it's 21-20. Like, how many people on Monday would call in concerned if the Saints only win by one on the season open? You get what I'm getting at? When you have expectation levels that the Saints have right now.
It is kind of, it's dangerous, but it's also good.
I agree, but that's what I'm saying. You know, because we're talking about what are those top storylines going into camp. I think storyline number one is the Saints handling the expectation level that a lot of people believe this is a Super Bowl contending team. Not playoff team. Super Bowl contending team. And what I mean by that is the analogy I've used all the time about when LSU gets to a certain level, you can't enjoy the season anymore. Right? When fans have put the Tigers to a certain level where unless, I mean, this is where they were the last several years, which I think led to Les Miles' downfall and eventually firing, right? 10 wins, one enough. 11 wins ain't enough. It's national championship or bust. It's Bama or else, or we need someone else.
I mean, isn't that the goal, though?
I think it's unrealistic a lot of times.
Isn't that the goal to take down Bama?
No, you can say that. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not the goal. But there's some seasons, and it's unrealistic. You could always win every single year. There's only one school doing that.
Bama.
Not Ohio State, not Michigan. You get what I'm getting at? I mean, Tennessee, things they should. They're firing coaches left and right. I mean, what was the stat? Something like 30 or 40 coaches in the SEC have come and gone in Saban's time?
Something. I think it was around that number.
Texas A&M last year, right? Bye-bye someone. They're like, hey, we expect to be national champions. That's great. Coaches are being fired in college football, winning 10 and 11 games. You know what I'm getting at? My point is the expectation levels. With expectations come a different set of eyes, right? Last year, or 2006, Sean Payton's first year, 10 wins, Saints, the eyes were, that's awesome. Look how excited. I need some new Saints gear, season tickets, right? When you have expectation levels of Super Bowl. Now, I didn't say bust yet. That's maybe later. But the expectation level is that this team can contend for at least a spot in the NFC Championship game. Well, with that, that expectation level brings different critiquing. Free agent signings. Do they work? Do they not? Players that played well last year. Oh, is there a drop-off? I mean, we had a call yesterday. Alvin Kamara reached 2,000 all-purpose yards. I mean, if he only finishes with 1,400 instead of 1,500, did he have a bad year? You get what I'm getting at?
With a sophomore slump.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Different expectation levels mean different set of eyes. That's just reality. Different set of eyes. I mean, I heard the Nashville folks go, well, you know, Drew Brees is coming off of a down year, but it was mainly because of the run game. Down year because he didn't throw for 5,000 yards? Again, different, see what I'm saying? Different levels, different expectation levels, different sort of takes on it. I think to me it's the absolute number one storyline going into this season. Honestly. It's how do they handle that? And I don't think that they're going to have too much of a problem on that because I think that you saw last year a team that was made up really of a lot of youth, whether it was rookies or whether it was second-year players, third-year players, made up the bulk of the starting lineup, absolutely handled it. They did a great job in finding players that it wasn't too big for the moment, right? Like, you really couldn't say there were games where, youth and inexperience cost the Saints one.
There was one.
Not too many games. Yeah, what game do you think?
The biggest one of them all. Want to go to the NFC Championship.
I don't think that was youth and inexperience. Because you can say that it was Marcus. I keep telling you, well, how about you bring the quarterback down? How about you rush? How about you pressure him? How about you get the first down by a Hall of Fame quarterback that leads the offense with a coach that's been here since 2006? They couldn't convert a third down and could have kicked the game-winning field goal as time expired. So I would argue your point that I don't think youth and inexperience cost the Saints that game. They couldn't score in the first half.
That wasn't youth and inexperience. That alone didn't cost them the game, first off.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm just giving the point of that's where youth and inexperience came into play.
I don't know. Because youth and inexperience on that defense, he got an interception in that game. That helped turn things around.
Yes, but he went for a kill shot.
Joey?
He definitely went for a kill shot.
Tell Jordan he lost this argument.
No.
He lost this argument.
He went for a kill shot.
I do not think youth and inexperience cost the Saints against the Vikings.
I didn't say I'll reword it. Didn't cost them the game. It cost them the game, but it didn't cost them the game completely. It was all on his fault.
But that's what I get it. If you agree with me or Jordan, feel free to call 800-998-1003 RDSPN Radio Law. What are some other storylines though? What are some other storylines or even if you have, I guess, concerns, area of concerns. John mentioned it, and I'll address it when we come back after this break, because I do think it's number two, because people are talking about it, and it's a legit storyline. Although I think I'm in the minority on which side I'm in, and it's the second running back / Mark Ingram role. I think a lot of people are speaking about it. I think a lot of people think it's a storyline. I think a lot of people feel that it's a, you know, point of contention or a thing going into training camp. But I'm on the opposite end as to just how important it is. I'll explain when I come back. It's the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. If you want to chime in, feel free to do so. We only have one more guest the rest of the show, and that's Tim Grubbs in his weekly baseball segment. But the focus today, black and gold. The Saints reported for training camp receiver Brandon Coleman. The news on him next as well. We come back live at Barker Mitsubishi and Kia at home. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Jordan, the intern, That was your opportunity to help out there. I was using the restroom. You could have said, welcome back to the Sports Hangover, Jordan the Intern. Be sure to follow us on social media. ESPN Radio NOLA, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook.
I messed up. I blew it.
Starting this week at Saints training camp, we'll be posting reports, interviews with fans. Could have done all of that and given me time to get back under or behind the table here.
I'm a horrible intern.
And instead,
I was screaming for my fearless leader.
You just watched as I had to now run and sprint from the bathroom. Corey, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover. What you got, buddy?
Hello. Hey, how y'all doing, gentlemen?
I agree with Jordan.
I'm going to pick you up, Jordan.
You agree with Jordan the intern.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right.
That's
all. Okay.
And the thing is about it is that, because you know this more than anybody on the show, I mean, you can make the argument saying that he's the rookie, and I mean, he let us down, Gus. I mean, because I mean, the bottom line is that this defense, pretty much, this is the best defense we ever saw. I mean, you can say the 09 defense when it was picking 6-9. So I think this defense is just nasty, and you put the onus on the defense, and I just, like Jordan said, he went for the kill shot, and he didn't need me to do it. I think he let us down, and my storyline is going to be Marcus Williams. How do he come back? Is he made with the right stuff? And I think he is, but the thing is about it, can he take that doubt and pretty much turn into like a motivation and pretty much come back hungry? That's just the bottom line with that. And I think one more question. I'm trying to see why Drew Brees going to be pretty much in the top, the MVP candidate. I mean, you got old Noodle on MVP, you got Cam Newton won it. I'm like, why Drew don't be pretty much in that discussion? And why he never did win it? We're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah. I'm with you. And again, I think a lot of it is because whether it's the market, whether it's maybe the consistency of winning, and quite honestly, I'm going to use this term, laziness of the national media that just like to talk about certain areas, right? I mean, I'll equate it quickly and then bring it back with the analogy, Corey, of I saw, what was it? Oh, on First Take, right? I saw the headline on the topic, Los Angeles, the center of the sports universe. I'm sorry, Skip Bayless tweeted that the Lakers, not the Dodgers getting Manny Machado, not, you know, other, not the Rams that have a Super Bowl team, perhaps. No. It's the Lakers with LeBron's the center of the sports universe. Not soccer, not basketball, it's the sports universe. I went, come on. But that's the problem. You got people getting paid on TV, on radio nationally, talking nonsense and focusing on certain things. Look, I get it. The Patriots win the Super Bowl. They have a guy who has a, you know, I mean, come on, like one of the hottest sports cars ever named, you know, in his honor. Okay, fine. I get it. But I think that's the problem, right? I mean, look, I get it here to my right. I tease Jordan all the time. I'm like, dude, everyone likes Aaron Rodgers better than Brees. No. They do. Nationally, they always mention Aaron Rodgers first before Drew. And again, though, Corey, he won an MVP, to your point.
Yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, you're talking about a team that in Green Bay didn't even make the playoff. And just because they have number 12, I mean, he alone pretty much that – guaranteed them that they make the playoff. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I understand. I watched Booger yesterday. They were talking about the predictions, and everybody in love with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Rams. And he threw the dog horse out there, and he said New Orleans. And I just think that this team is a better team on paper. I mean, you can look at it, LA, man, they got everything that they need. But give me Drew Brees and this team, and it doesn't matter where we go at. Now, keep in mind, number 12, he a bad boy, like Steven, like streaming this thing, but, man, give me Drew Brees, number 9, and this defense and this team, and I'm loving it. I want to see what the status is on Karen Marin. I want to know what his status is for tomorrow.
I think
I'll say this. They watched his snap count towards the end of OTAs and minicamp. But he was way ahead of schedule. Like, he was practicing full go, running routes, doing everything, doing team drills. when he had been saying when he got signed that his goal is to be ready for the start of the season. So, honestly, Corey, I expect them to be full go tomorrow. I honestly
Brian,
do.
Brian was watching him at minicamp and all that, all the other practices, and he said from what he saw, he liked what he saw.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think for sure. I think he'll be good to go. Look, we know Brandon Coleman is going to start on the PUP list, and he needs to get off of it because they got a ton of receivers. I don't want to hear how much Drew Brees likes him. I don't want to hear how Sean Payton likes him. I don't want to hear about his 6'6 size. I don't hear how he can block. You're a receiver, not a lineman. So, because they got a lot of receivers, man. Corey, I think it's a position group where Sean Payton's going to go, I need some coins because I'm going to have to flip because they only dress four. I thought Nick Underhill did a great job of taking this argument as to do you keep five or do you not, because he's like half the time they only dressed four or activated four and mainly only run three receiver sets. So how many receivers do you keep? Because you know you have Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn, Cameron Meredith. You drafted Traquan Smith. You want to throw in Brian's guy and Brandon Coleman. I like, you know, Trayvon Darrell. You traded and got, you know, and brought in Austin Carr. You got a couple of young other guys that I think you're going to have training camp injuries to put them on IR, a.k.a. redshirt them next year. It's going to be interesting, man, how many they keep.
And I'm loving Kamara. I think he's a steal, Gus. I think he's big time. Yeah. I think he's a receiver that the Saints pretty much – was looking for, obviously, yep. of Mike Thomas. I mean, so.
No doubt,
I'm
for sure. Thank you, Corey.
All right.
Appreciate the phone call, even though you sided with Jordan the intern. Hour three for Barker Mitsubishi and Kia. Mitsubishi. I put them together. You saw that? Barker Mitsubishi and Kia.
Added to the list.
Coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.